Hey, this is an interview with Margaret Kane on the 9th of February, 1996, of the San Antonio Daylily Society. And, Margaret, I'm just going to ask you some questions, and we'll go from there. The first question is, I know that you're English, and yet when you made a presentation to the San Antonio Daylily Society in March of 1964, you spoke of being a little girl in New Mexico. How did that come about?
Well, my father was with a mining corporation, and he had to go to Mexico to work for the Mazapil copper mines. And, of course, he took his family along, and that's how I happened to be born in Mexico. And then, I don't know just how old I was. We came to San Antonio when I was just a baby in arms. And, in fact, my sister said I learned to walk here, because it was here that I fell into a cactus patch. And it was years before they all worked out. Anyway, then we went back to England, and then we came back to Mexico again. And then the revolution drove us out of Mexico, and we came to San Antonio again. And my father decided to stay here and went into business for himself, the San Antonio Armature Works. They rewind the large motors that drive elevators and things like that. And I've been here ever since.
Did you ever go back to England to live?
Not to live, not after the last time, and I was 8 then.
You went to school in England, though?
Uh-huh. In England at that time, you started at 4 years old. 5 years old, I take it, 5 years old. But I could already read, so they let me go, because I could read quite fluently. I went to school, as I remember, telling somebody 4 3/4.
So you came to San Antonio very early on.
Oh, yes. In fact, it was just before the big flood in 1921.
Tell us a little bit about your husband, Paul, and your children.
Well, Paul is always interested in electronics and things to do with anything electrical, and he worked at the Armature Works with my father and my two brothers. But his lifelong hobby was radio, and he was an amateur radio operator, and he was the one who began the weather net. Every night they would get on the radio and receive calls from all over Texas and, of course, all over San Antonio saying how much rainfall they were having. And in turn, that was relayed to the weather station here, and it told them where they were going to have to put flood barriers first. And he loved that, and I don't know how many years, probably 15, 20, maybe 30 years he was doing that.
Huh?
Every night, rain or shine.
How about your children?
I have two daughters. Joan is the RN, and Kay is the technical director for the American Association of Blood Banks. She lives in Washington. She's married to Paul McCurdy, who is the doctor for the bone marrow. He's in charge of the bone marrow program. And they have, Kay has 3 children, and Joan has 3 children. One of the grandchildren lives here, and he in turn has an extended family of 4 children. And altogether, I've lost track of how many great-grandchildren I have. I'm serious.
Wonderful. You're the most knowledgeable plant person that I know, and the San Antonio Daylily Society is blessed by your presence. How did you become so knowledgeable?
Well, I was interested in gardening from the time I could walk, because my sister said that when I was 3 years old in Mexico, I was trying to plant the pits out of a cherry pie. And that was a family joke all my life. And I remember taking some nasturtiums and pulling the petals off and presenting them to my mother as a new flower. And I couldn't have been, I remember it very vividly, so it was probably just before we came here. I'd probably 6 or 7 years old. I've always gardened. It's as natural to me as breathing.
So have I, but you know 10 times more than I do.
Well, I read a great deal. If I start a novel or a mystery story, I can't put it down. So when I know I've got to read just a little while and then go to do something else, I pick up a gardening catalog or a gardening book.
How much formal education did you have in botany?
In botany, I only had the one course, but that was under Mrs. Stein at Main Avenue High School, and she was a very good teacher. And then Mrs. Quillen at the museum, whom I'd known since I was just almost on my... ever since when the museum began, Mrs. Quillen, who was Miss Schultz at that time, had written a book on the native plants of Texas. And somebody gave me a copy, which I still have. And I used to go to her with wildflowers, and she'd always take the time to tell me what they were and this, that, and the other. And then after I was married, I used to take my children to the museum, and if I ran into her, she'd stop and talk a while about flowers. Hmm. You couldn't help but be interested with someone that enthusiastic about them. I was just lucky to have those two people.
How did you become involved with Daylilies?
Well, I took that magazine... I can't remember now what it was, Flower and Garden?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right, but anyway. And there was a great deal about daylilies in them. When I was a child, I read Jean Stratton Porter, if you remember, and she spoke of tiger lilies. Well, when I saw my first daylilies, and it must have been here in San Antonio, I thought those were what we call wild daylilies. I thought those were tiger lilies, and I guess I was about 9 or 10 at that age. So after I discovered what they were and after I had a garden of my own, I advertised in the Louisiana Bulletin for yellow ones because all there was here at that time were the orange ones, or all I could find.
When was this?
Well,
about?
About 35, I guess, about 1935. And a man here in town, a Mr. Allen, called me and said he had some yellow daylilies he'd like to share with me. And sure enough, he had a half a dozen species, and he gave me a start of each. And of course, that got me interested. And then when I saw something in the magazine about daylilies and that anyone could join a round robin, I joined the round robin, and it happened to be the first one that they organized, and it was called the First National. And then before long, the First National brought up the idea of having a daylily society, and it just went from there.
Hmm. And then you became a charter member of mm-hmm. the American Hammer Calla yes. Society.
Somewhere, I still have a postcard that they said, please send us a postcard telling us your age, approximate if you like. I remember that so well. And... your family, tell us a little about yourself, in other words. And years and years later, Olive Heinemann, who was in charge of that round robin at one time, sent it back to me, and I still have it somewhere. I meant to look and see if I could find it for you. I remember saying that I had two children, so, and if I had Kay already, then that must have been about 1941 or 42, because I remember Kay was about 3 at that time. That's the youngest. And, I belonged to that round robin till it fell apart, as you might say, because I think, in fact, I'm fairly sure that I was the youngest one. Of course, people do die away.
Yeah.
They're like daylilies. They live a long time, but not necessarily forever.
Yeah, one last question, and this one is controversial. Of all the daylilies you have known, which one's the most memorable and why? And she's thinking.
That I am. Well, I remember being so astonished by Fulva rosea when I saw it for the first time because it was so comparatively pink compared to any other daylily. that it still stands out in my mind. It was just a species, and it didn't live indefinitely like most of the species do. But I was so surprised about it being as pink as it was, because I hadn't expected it to be really that pink.
That was the import, then, that brought the pink genes into the daylily
family.
Yes,
I think so. That was my understanding.
Yeah.
And after that, there was one called Fulva rosea, quote, Rosalind. And it was just a little pinker yet. And yet it was not a cross. It was a species, too, but it's just a little more pink. I always noticed that if you put a pink one close to a soft yellow, the pink would look more pink.
Can you think of anything else you ought to add?
No, in fact, I think I've said too much already.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're quite welcome.